Chairman with you. We got another big day on the horizon here. Not only do we have LeBron and the Lakers back in town tonight, Bronny is also here, but we're starting to get you ready for this Chargers game on Sunday. And the big conversation is Jameis Winston. Kevin Stefanski says today that his plan is to start him going forward, but we're all day to day. Some good clarity there by Kevin Stefanski. And to go ahead and talk about this, the Browns' chances of making this season interesting, what the season's really about, and whatever the hell rating is, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome in Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Ross, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, that was strong, man. Very strong right there with the mayo. You don't know what rating is?
I never heard. I saw it on your Twitter today. I've never. When you said, is it still a thing? I was like, I didn't even know it was a thing. Tell me more.
Okay, have you ever heard of Mischief Night?
No.
What is that?
No, that's most nights for me, though.
Okay, so like where I grew up, the night before Halloween, when you're a teenager, you kind of get dressed up like in dark clothing and you do secret ops like pranks where you toilet paper somebody's house and like the trees in their yard or shaving cream or maybe you throw eggs at their house. Like you cause a little trouble. You cause a little bit of a ruckus.
So that's tonight.
That's tonight. And usually at some point either one of the parents gets mad and comes after you, or maybe the cops chase you around, and that's like more than half the fun. Like that, I remember one time they raided our house when I was like in sixth grade because my sister was in 10th grade. So of course they came to our house, and my dad, like, he heard them throwing corn at the house because you can hear the corn like hitting the windows, and my dad got out and ran after them screaming and yelling. And he came back, and my mom was like, oh, my gosh, Jim, you got so upset. I'm surprised you got that mad. Like, she's in 10th grade now. You knew they were going to come. And he's like, no, not at all. I just remember when I did it, by far the most fun was when the guy chased after you. So it was awesome. I mean, I was to see them. So two things that are interesting to note. One year, my mom was worried about me, like, when I was in 8th or 9th grade. She was worried about me getting hit by a car. So she wanted me to wear my dad's, like, you know, like, when a runner runs early in the morning, they wear those, like, what's it called, like, fluorescent things?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom wanted me to wear one. I'm like, Mom, I might as well just go right to the police station. What are you talking about? Like, you can't wear the thing that makes you shine bright at night. Like, what are you talking about? The worst idea I've ever heard. So anyway, then the other time, my dad worked, ironically, for a chocolate Easter bunny company called R.M. Palmer. So that's from my hometown, and my dad was like a sales and marketing guy for them. So one year probably wasn't the best idea. Took a lot of the extra chocolate, threw it at this one neighbor's house. We didn't really like him. And they called the next day and said, hey, yeah, we know it was you because it was all Palmer chocolate. And my dad was like, you got to go down there and clean it up now. So that was brutal. So they don't do that in Ohio. So you guys don't know how to have fun.
No, yeah,
but that's what you do in Pennsylvania.
I still don't think you do it in Pennsylvania. This is how people get arrested now. This is like a federal case. You can't. There's no mischief anymore. Everything's a federal crime.
You know what? I think it's a really good point. Based on the social media response, I don't think people do it anymore. Because I think now, like, they would call the cops, you'd get busted, or they would shoot you because they'd be scared. The world has just changed since the early 90s, I guess. Yeah. Early to late 90s.
Simpler times.
I mean, if that Yankees fan committed assault, then, yeah, I mean, egging somebody's house is up there, too, is a federal.
Hey, you know what? Is that what they're saying?
No, we had a conversation earlier, Ross, just about Whether or not like people are taking it to the extreme by calling it assault. That's all.
No, it's definitely not assault, but I would say this. If I was Mookie Betts, I might have assaulted those dudes. the one guy was like twisting his wrist to open up his gloves to get the ball out. The other guy's holding his hand back. I mean, that's when like I feel like once every 10 years, some fan in some sport globally needs to get punched in the face as an example to all the other fans around the world that, like, hey, you can, I know you think that you're protected. You're not. But these guys can still punch you in the face, and you better not do dumb stuff. Because that was galactically dumb by those Yankee fans last night.
I think I'm 100% on board.
It's like one shot, F around and find out type thing.
But it's one. You get one punch if you're Mookie Betts, so it's got per person. So it's got to land. So, or you can do two on one person, then just like basically save it all up, like it's some sort of like fuel perks or something. But I think you're spot on. I guarantee you.
I don't think we need to go all the way to like Malice in the Palace level.
Yeah, that's not good.
That was too much. That was too far.
I don't know that we need to knock out like double digit people. But I do think a healthy reminder every once in a while is not the worst thing for fans to realize, hey, like, these guys can actually, you can't just say or do or whatever to these people.
Yeah, really one punch in the face really does. Like, I've never needed to be punched in the face twice. It's, I mean, my own, like, learning curve. Once was enough for me, Ross.
You know what's so funny about that, Nick?
What's that?
I literally, when I was at Princeton, I told the dean of admissions that he likes sports. So he's talking about sports. I was like, I actually have an idea for you. And he's like, what? He was a cool guy. I'm like, I think every person that gets accepted to Princeton, I had two ideas for him. Number one was for him to allow me to help screen some of the female applicants. He did not think that was a good idea.
That can be problematic.
My other idea, though, was that everyone that gets accepted to Princeton, that along with that acceptance should come a punch in the face. So you, A, realize that that's actually a thing that happens in the world, and B, realize you're really not that great. Because that was one of the flaws of Princeton, is that, like, everybody's walking around like they're so – I'm like, you're really not that sweet, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I think people need a healthy reminder in life at times of that and what that feels like. By the way, I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
Why are so many people in Cleveland giving me all the credit for the Browns' win over the Ravens and saying – we wouldn't have won that game if Ross Tucker didn't call it on CBS. He's so good. That's definitely the like, it's flattering and probably true, but I'm still surprised how many people are saying it.
Are they actually saying it, or are you now encouraging them to say it by saying other people are saying it?
Sounds like something that somebody who went to Princeton who thought they were hot, you know what, would say.
Sounds like a guy needs to get punched in the face.
No, I mean, all the text messages I've gotten from people are you're the greatest color analyst we've ever heard, and there's no way we win that game if you weren't in the booth.
All right, that was just me.
I heard Jameis after the game saying that the theme in the locker room was win one for the Tucker. I wasn't expecting either.
That was good.
I'll have to follow up on that one. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. They won against Baltimore. It was fun. There's a conversation in town. Should the Browns continue to try and win, even if it takes them farther away from being able to draft a quarterback this year? I'll ask you, should the Browns continue to try and win this year?
Yes, they should. Absolutely. Because now that they have a quarterback playing the way he did, now they know what it's like. They have hope. Listen, you guys, I told you this before, the Browns might be the best fan base in the entire NFL. The loyalty and passion that Browns fans have for a team that has done so little since 99, and by the way, left them, obviously, as we know, I am always so impressed. That place, guys, they hadn't won a home game yet this year. I mean, the team has been a disaster and very disappointing this year. That place was rocking on Sunday. When Jameis threw that touchdown to Tillman, the place absolutely went berserk. And I am so happy for those people. I'm so happy for everyone listening. Listen, like what do people want to do, okay? They want to see their team, the Browns, win the games on Sunday and beat rivals and beat the Steelers and beat whoever. And the joy that those people experienced, I mean, I would love to hear. It was awesome to experience and to be part of. And I want those people to have more joy this year. I want them to win more. Listen, you don't know which one of the quarterbacks is going to be good anyway. I mean, Bo Nix and the Broncos are 5-3. Nobody wanted him. And he was what, the fifth quarterback that went? They had the top three guys. Penix was 8. The Vikings traded up to get J.J. McCarthy at 11. I don't know when Bo Nix would have been drafted if the Broncos didn't take him. And now they're 5-3, and he's starting every game. I don't know if Bo Nix is great or not, but my point is out of these guys that are coming out this year, whoever it is, Shador and Cam Ward, you don't know which one's really going to be the best. To lose games with the hope that you get the best. Look, I think Jaden Daniels is better than Caleb Williams, and I think he's going to be. So if you want to have the number one pick and maybe take the wrong guy like Carolina and Chicago did, or would you rather have the number two pick and maybe get the better guy? The point is I am not a believer in losing games. Losing sucks. Losing is miserable. We don't want to be miserable. We want to enjoy our Sundays. We want the Browns to be competitive, to win games, and at least feel like they're in this thing until December. And maybe later, I don't know, maybe they go on a run here. Although I still kind of think there's so much noise around Za'Darius Smith that I tend to think they probably trade him, which, you know, hurts those chances a little bit.
Well, along those lines, Ross, does the math change on them maybe trying to go for it a little bit more if they lose on Sunday? Because as you mentioned, the trade deadline obviously looms large next Tuesday. And if you fall to 2-7, maybe now you're reevaluating things. Or is there a way they thread the needle and they say, we can trade some guys while still trying to be competitive the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think it's a really fair question. I think if they lose if they win Sunday, then they would be what, 3-6?
Yeah, they'd be 3-6, yeah.
So it's still probably a long shot, but makes it a little bit of a tougher sell in the locker room if they've won back-to-back games, because it's so funny. No matter what your record is in the NFL, you start to win a couple games in a row, you start to really believe, right? If they lose, I think it's much more reasonable and much more likely that they trade somebody. Maybe two guys. I don't know. I mean, but much more likely. If they win, I think that's a little bit of a tougher sell. Although, I think you could argue, hey, we traded Cooper, and we've still won a couple games since then. So, let's trade Za'Darius. And, you know, Okoronkwo can go out and play as well as Za'Darius. And we've got these other guys, Alex Wright and whoever, can get pressure. So I'm sure they can spin it either way. But I do think for a lot of teams around the NFL, this game's kind of important. You know, this weekend's important. It's like the Rams are going to trade Cooper Kupp and they won. They're like, okay, yeah, forget about that. Yeah, forget. We're going to go for it actually now.
Ross, do you buy into Jameis as a more than the next, I don't know, 9 games starter for the Browns?
Probably not. No, I mean, I think Jameis is in the Flacco stage of his career, probably, where it's like nobody really wants to make him the man at the start of the season, but he can become the man. Now, we talked to him about this. Like I said, hey man, like this could be the start of the rest of your life. Like, you could be Geno Smith or you could be Darnold. And I thought it was interesting. He's like, you're forgetting the big one. And I said, who? He's like, Steve Young. That's who Jameis brought up when I brought up, you know, maybe this is his opportunity to resurrect his career as a starter. He threw the ball right to the Ravens several times. Like, I can't believe Eddie Jackson dropped that one in the end zone. I really can't believe Kyle Hamilton dropped that one. I tend to think that Jameis is probably who he's always been, which is, number one, hilarious, and then, number two, just very aggressive, both positively and negatively. I mean, he said, my mindset, he told me on Friday, my mindset is to attack the defense, and it's very entertaining for a broadcaster and for fans, but I would imagine over the rest of this season, it probably evens out a little bit more in terms of touchdowns, interceptions, and same with the record for the Browns, right? They probably end up more like 500 in his starts for the rest of the year. And I don't think that's going to be enough for the Browns to think, okay, let's run it back with Jameis next year. In fact, I would imagine after a couple bad games, if that happens, that they would start DTR to try to have a better idea of what they have in DTR by the end of the year, so they know, is DTR a starter? Probably not, but they can find that out. Is he a number two? I mean, I think they got to, on some level, find out if DTR is even a real number two in the NFL.
Ross, final thing here. We saw the change at left tackle with Jet Wills dealing with some injuries. What did you think of DeJuan Jones' debut on the left side of the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I was really surprised. I thought he was going to have major issues with Van Noy. You know, he'd only ever started one game at left tackle at Ohio State. Had never played left tackle with the Browns. I thought that might get ugly for the Browns. It didn't at all. I wouldn't put Wills back in there. The last year of Wills' contract, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put Wills back in there. To me, DeJuan would be the left tackle unless he really, really struggles. I've seen enough of Wills. I mean, Wills has been consistently inconsistent. It feels like he's been consistently unavailable, you know, or in and out of the lineups. Just kind of like I said about Jameis, I'd leave Jameis in at quarterback until he really struggles. I'd leave DeJuan at left tackle, keep Conklin at right tackle, unless DeJuan starts to really struggle. I don't see the point in putting Wills back in there.
Ross, it's always great to catch up with you. Good luck with the rating. Good luck. Enjoy Halloween. And, you know, make sure you get that dad tax going, okay?
Thanks, Ross.
Yeah, oh, no question. I'm all over it. Thank you, guys. See you, dudes.
Later, dude. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline will react to what he had to say about where the Browns are next on 92.3 The Fan.